Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is Yud Dalid in Meseches Beitza. It is the 628th daf in Shas. Our daf is going to begin with the Mishnah, four lines from the top, discussing the halachos of Tochen, about grinding on Yom Tov. There will be implications as well within the Rishonim in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, possibly as well. That will be the subject of Yudalid Amud Aleph. Then we will go to Borer. Same thing that we said above. Borer and Hilchos Yom Tov. We will see that Hilchos Yom Tov is quite different than Borer in Hilchos Shabbos. Then we will have a Mishnah after the Gemara analyzes Hilchos Borer. We're going to have a Mishnah in regards to sending presents to your friends on Yom Tov and the permissibility of it if it's Letzarech Yom Tov. Normally a matana is asur because of Gzeiras Mekach u'Memkar. However, over here, we're going to have machloks between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Again, Beis Hillel expanding Letzarech Yom Tov and Beis Shammai limiting it as we've had in the past. And finally, we will have a new Mishnah on the bottom of Yudalan Amud Beis, which will round out the topic of the first parak, the topics of the first parak, because the Gemara will take us tomorrow to the end of the first parak in Meseches Beitza, and that will also be about sending utensils, as opposed to food, which was the previous Mishnah, to one's friend on Yom Tov. Let's Bezer Hashem begin, four lines from the top, Yudalid Amud Aleph, an important daf in regards to Malachos on Yom Tov, as well as Hilchas Tochen and Hilchas Borer. Says the Mishnah, Beis Shammai Yomim Tavlin Nidochen B'moduch Shel Eitz. You're allowed to grind spices with a wooden utensil. V'hamelach B'pach Be'etz HaPorer. According to most Rishonim, not all, maybe we'll get to this in the halacha of the daily daf, one is allowed to grind food and spices for Yom Tov because of the heter of Ochel Nefesh. Acha she'ochel Ochel Nefesh u'levado yosa lechem. However, there still is, in certain instances, at least according to the Shita Beis Shammai, a requirement that one do the grinding with a shinui, at least in regards to salt. That is part of the dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that you could only grind spices with a wooden grinder, and salt needs to be done bepach. Bepach is to be translated as a small bowl, as well as be'etz haporur. You're not supposed to use the regular madoch. The madoch is the normal bowl that is used, and it was normally made out of stone. So Beis Shammai shita is like this. The spices, you don't use a madoch of stone, you use a maduch of eitz, and the salt, you use a small bowl, and the grinder that you're going to use, so that grinder is supposed to be of wood as well, and not supposed to be of stone, when you're dealing with salt. Beis Hillel omrim, tavlin nidochen kedarkon, b'maduch shel even. Beis Hillel disagrees and says you could use the stone one, what's normally done. V'hamelach b'maduch shel eitz. And salt has to be done in a wooden bowl, but there's no requirement that the actual grinder be different. So we see that there are different levels of requirement of shinui that differentiate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to most Rishonim, even though it is mutter to grind, nevertheless, because we don't want it to appear as if one is grinding during the day, lest a person think that it's the daytime, or come to do malachos that are usher during the day, or it contradicts the spirit of Yom Tov, even though it's mutter, either way, it's supposed to be done with different gradations of shinui, according to both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Analyze the Gemara. Dekuli alma mias melach boi shinui. One thing in common between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is that they both agree that salt requires some level of shinui. My time, and what's the rationale? Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, Chadam, or Kol HaKederes Klulon Tzriches Melach, Vein Kol HaKederes Tzriches Tavlin. One holds that all the foods require salt, and not all foods require spices. Hence, Rashi says, that when it comes to the salt, everybody knows, Erev Yom Tov, that they should grind salt. So therefore, if a person doesn't, he has to use a shinui. However, when it comes to spices, the opinion of Beis Hillel is that since he didn't know yesterday that he was going to need to do the spices, he does not need to do a shinui. Again, Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, Chad Omar, Kol HaKderes Kulon Tzrichas Melech, Vein Kol HaKderes Tzrichas Tavlin. V'Chad Omar, and another gave a different reason. Kol HaTavlin Mafigin Taimah. When it comes to the other spices, they lose its taste if you grind it on Erev Yom Tov. U'melach eina mafiga taimah. When it comes to salt, it doesn't lose its taste. So therefore, when it comes to salt, you should grind it before Yom Tov. Irregardless of whether people use salt always on Yom Tov or spices on always on Yom Tov, a totally different reason. Whether it loses its taste or not. My benai, what's the difference between the first reason and the second reason? Ika benayu diyoda maikdeira boi livishule. If he knows or she knows what they're going to be cooking on Yom Tov. So then in such a case, according to the first reason, then you have to grind the spices beforehand. And if you didn't, there'll be a requirement for a shinui. However, when it comes to the second reason, since the spices are going to lose its taste, there's no requirement to grind it beforehand, and you need to, when you need to grind it on Yom Tov, you could grind it in a regular manner. This comes up in Shulchan Aruch, and Be'ezer Hashem, I hope we could put that as a nominee, as a real possibility to do for Halach from Deilu Daf. Inami, another explanation, Bimorika. Or else the Gemara suggests we could say a nafgamina would be in a type of spice that's called in English, and here I have to look in the dictionary, crocus. I need a dictionary for the dictionary. C-R-O-C-U-S or saffron, S-A-F-F-R-N, inami bimorika. Rashi refers to it in Lashon Kodesh as charkom, and it's a spice that doesn't lose its potency if it is grinded earlier. So according to the first explanation of the Gemara, that whatever you should have anticipated before Yom Tov you're going to need, you're going to grind beforehand. Charkom, morika, crocus, is not something that you would have anticipated beforehand. However, according to the Man D'Amar that says if it loses its taste, then you don't, its potency, then you don't need to grind it before Yom Tov. But if it's not like salt, which doesn't, then you have to grind before Yom Tov. So here, the tavlin of morika, because it doesn't lose its potency, needs to be done ground before Yom Tov. Period. Amar Avi Damar Shmuel. Kol niduchin nidochin kedarkon, vafilu melach. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel has a position that seems to be a different than our Mishnah. He says the halacha is that even salt can be ground in the normal manner. Asks the Gemara, is that so? Va'amrit melach boi shinui. But didn't we learn that when it comes to salt that there is a requirement of a shinui? Answers the Gemara, Huda Amar ki ay tana. He's following a different tana, not the tana of the Mishnah, Beitza Yudalit Amar Aleph, but a different one. Desanya Amar Rabbi Meir, Lo nechliku beisham beisilal anducha shindochon kidarkon, umelach imohen, lo nechliku elodocha bifnei atzmo. Beishamai requires the shinuyim that were mentioned above in the Mishnah. And when does Beishamai require those shinuyim? Let's see. That's only if he's using the salt for roasting, and then he would not use a lot of salt. Avalolik deira. But if he's using it for cooking, then he doesn't need a shinui, even according to Beishamai. That would require too much tirchas yomtif. Ubeishil alaymrim bichol davar. It's an unclear statement. The Gemara asks, Bichol Dover, with everything? Salkadaitech Ela Ema Lichol Dover. That even for a dish, one is allowed to grind in a normal manner. In other words, what emerges is that Beis Hillel does not require a shinui even when it comes to salt. Hence, the Tana of our Mishnah is in disagreement with this presentation of Beis Hillel. Disagrees with Rav Meir in the Braisa, and Shmuel was presenting his Shita according to Rabbi Meir in the Braisa, that Beis Hillel does not require a shinui altogether. La halacha, as you can see by the note to the Ein Mishpat, we do require some level of shinui when it comes to grinding, even when it comes to salt, according to Beis Hillel, although over here Beis Hillel seems to be lenient when it comes to salt. The Gemara continues, Amalei Ravacha Bardelo Lebrei. Rav Acha bar Dla said to his son, Ki yediyachta etzli atzluye v'doch. Here is one of the reasons that we pask in the Chumra, because the Gemara now concludes with the story, and Rav Acha told his son, when you do the grinding at next to me, do it by when you're by my house, do it with a shinui. Rav Sheshes shama kol buchna. Rav Sheshes heard the sound of grinding, and it sounded like it was a regular form of grinding. Amar, hai lav migavi de besahu. He is not from my house, because in my house, we are machmir to require a shinui. Asks the Gemara, v'dilma tzluye atzle. Maybe the fellow was grinding with a shinui, that he put the grinder on its side. The grinder, when we say the grinder here, we're talking about, I think it's referred to as the pistol, and that is the bar-like substance that's used. Every once in a while, you'll see that in a pharmacy when they grind up a medicine. So he asks, maybe he turned it on its side. Says the Gemara, d'shamas David tzlil kolay. It was a very distinct noise that could not be made if the pistol would be turned on its side. Ask Gemara v'dilma tavlin havu. It maybe it was spices, and we learned in our Mishnah according to Beis Hillel you could grind spices normally for two reasons that we had mentioned above. Says the Gemara nevuche man v'chalayu. When it comes to spices, then it creates a distinct type of noise of cracking, howling. So the Gemara refers to nibuach of a dog, and that normally refers to howling, but some type of unique sound that indicates that this was spices. The fact that he didn't hear that seemed to indicate to Rav Sheshes that it was someone that was not following the position that Rav Sheshes and Rav Acha had followed, even though Rabbi Meir quotes Beis Hillel as being makel in this regard. They followed the opinion of Beis Hillel in our Mishnah, which says that you need to do a shinui when it comes to salt. Tan Rabbanon, ein osin tisni, ve'ein kochin b'machteshes. You're not allowed to grind wheat to the point the wheat splits into four different parts. That is a process that requires a lot of tircha. Ve'ein kochin b'machteshes, and you're not allowed to use an actual grinder. Asks the Gemara, the two statements seem to be a contradiction. Tarti, both of these things are true. Rashi explains that the question is as follows. From the Reisha, it seems that you're not allowed to grind them really, really, really well. Enos and Tisni means that you divide it into four parts as described in Moed Katan. However, to grind it in general be mutter, just it can't be done in this process called Tisni. Yet the Sefer says, Ein kochin machteshes. Answers the Gemara, Hachi kamar, 8 lines from the bottom. This is what it means. Matam ein osin tisni. What's the reason that you can't make it into four parts? Ufisha ein kochin machteshes. Because you can't even use a grinder altogether. Asks the Gemara, then why do you need to say you can't make tisni? Mashma, that a regular form of grinding, a basic form of grinding would be acceptable. Velema ein kochin machteshes. Just say that you're not allowed to grind. Says the Gemara, itani ein kochin machteshes. Have, I mean, I would have thought, hani milu machteshes gdela. That prohibition only applies to a large grinder. Large grinding, that's prohibited. Why? Because that's a normal way of grinding. However, a small grinder, al machteshes ktana, a small grinder, Rashi explains, 5 lines from the bottom, that it almost resembles a shinui, it almost resembles kelachar yad, if it's a small grinder. Ema shapir dami. I might have thought that's acceptable. Kamash malan, the chidush is that, no, that you're not allowed to. Asks the Gemara of Atanya, but then we learn in Braisa, ein kochin machteshes gidola, av a kochin b'machteshes ktana. That exact logic that we just mentioned above, that it is permissible to grind in a small hand grinder, because then in such a case, it's like, according to this braisa, the process of a shinui. Amar Abaye, ki tanya na masnisa machdeshes gedola tanya. You're right. The Mishnah that was mentioned above, more precisely the braisa, even though the expression masnisa sometimes means a braisa, the braisa was mentioned above, which says, ein kochin machteshes, is only talking about a large one. If it's a small one, then it's already kilachar yad and a shinui and acceptable for yomtov. Remember, there is no iser d'oraisa according to most mefarshim. Hence, at least according to Rashi and Tosas, hence the only issue over here is an issue of uvda dechal, and therefore if you do it with a shinui, it's going to be permissible. In one sentence, if it's only an iser derabbanan and uvda dechal, so it no longer looks like you're doing something in a vachadike manner, to use a Yiddishism, incoherent English, it means that it does not appear as if you're grinding as a regular weekday activity, you're only preparing for Yom Tov, and therefore, the halachi is that a hand grinder is going to be acceptable. And then, the other part of the braisa, the reisha of the braisa, that says, Ein osin tisni, is telling us that you're not allowed to grind it really, really well. That also, presumably, is going to be a problem of a grinding that's chol. If you need to eat, so you grind it in the most basic manner. But tisni, that already would be a problem of uvda dechol as well. But a small grinder, when it's not tisni, then it would be acceptable. So, Amar Abaye ki tanya, nami masisa machdeshes gedola, that is Abaye's teretz. Machdeshes gedola tanya, we were talking about a large grinder that is prohibited. Turning on to Yudalad Amabez, Rav has a different approach. Rav Amar loy kasha. Really, Rashi explains, even a small grinder is going to be usur according to Rava. Notice also, this is how we paskin. Halan v'halahu. But it's dependent on a different issue. Lan v'lahu is an expression we have often in the Gemara. Lan is lanu, and hu is for them. For us, b'nei bavel, the halachi is that you're allowed to use a machdeshes gedola. Because, Rashi explains, we don't have a lot of servants who are mezalzel b'isr melacha b'yomtif. The servants of B'nai Eretz Yisrael were much more brazen, and they would grind, Rashi explains, with a large grinder and say that they had ground with a small grinder, and for that reason, all were prohibited. However, when it comes to B'nai Bavel, there they do not have servants who are brazen, and for that reason, we can allow the small grinder. There's no concern that the servants are going to fool us to use the large grinder. See the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, that explains the teretz quite differently and differentiates between the type of wheat that grew in Eretz Yisrael and the type of wheat that grew in Bavel. The Gemara continues on the top line, Yudal Namabez, Rav Papi, Ikla Levei Mar Shmuel. Rav Papi went to visit Shmuel, Aisile Daisa. They brought in front of Rav Papi a type of cereal. In those days, modern day Hebrew, by the way, daisa is a cereal, a porridge. Of course, in those days, a porridge was made out of ground wheat. So what did Rav Papi assume? That it was ground by Mar Shmuel on Yom Tov, v'lo achal. And for that reason, Rav Papi didn't eat from it. Asks the Gemara, v'dum machdeshes ktana. Why didn't Rav Papi assume that it was made from a small grinder and it was permissible? The Gemara answers, he saw that it was so well ground, it had to come from a larger, more refined grinder, a machdeshes gedola, which he felt was usher. Says the Gemara, why didn't he assume that it was ground yesterday? Erev Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, dechazia david kolif tzare. He saw that it was a shining sheen on the wheat that seemed to indicate that it had been ground that day. It looked very, very fresh. Vibaisema, another explanation, Shani Beimar Shmuel, the Ika Pritsusa de Avdi, he had servants that were not straight, who didn't follow the halacha. Hence, Rav Papi was concerned that it was prepared Beisur Melacha on Yom Tov and prohibited to use. We have the next Mishnah that now deals with the halachos of Borer on Yom Tov. Zakta Eligi Mishnah Borer Kitnius Be Yom Tov. Someone who selects between legumes on Yom Tov. Beishamai Oimrim Borer Oichel V'Oichel. The halacha, according to Beishamai, is one needs to take the better ones from the psoles. If you recall from Hilchos Shabbos, the halacha is that Borer, you also need to take the ochel from the psoles, not the psoles from the ochel, because the normal way that selection is done, after the wheat is ground, is you take the chaff away from the wheat. So hence, what's done is, you take the ochel from the psoles. The ochel, according to most Rishonim, the ochel means you eat the food immediately. In other words, according to Beis Shammai, you're only allowed to eat through the process of selecting in a manner that's derech achila. Beis Hillel oimrim bari kedarkoi. You could select in the normal manner, like during the week, b'cheikoi, in your lap, b'konu v'tamchui, as well as using some type of sifter. But the types of sifters that you can use are limited. Avoloi b'tavla v'loi b'nofa u'kvara. The Gemara in Shabbos differentiates between a konui and a tamchui on the one hand. That is, a tamchui is a large plate. A konui is a type of sifter that has two holes on it. A nofa and a kvara are the really advanced sifters, which are asam in HaTorah to use on Shabbos, even though Konun Tamchoi is Aser Midrabanan to use on Shabbos, on Yontif, according to Beis Hillel, that will be acceptable. Avolo b'tavlo v'lo b'nafa v'kvara. Rabbi Gamliel oimer af midiach v'shola. Rabbi Gamliel says that you're allowed to soak them in water and cause the psoles to rise on top. There is a big discussion in the Rishonim whether Rabbi Gamliel is being more machmir then Beis Hillel are more lenient. According to some, particularly the Ra'ah, he's being makil and saying not only could you select through a konon and tamchui, you're even allowed to use water. According to the Meiri, he's actually being machmir, and he's saying a konon and tamchui cannot be used, only water could be used. Gemara continues, Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, I'm Rabbi Gamliel Bamedvar, Mamurim Kishaycha Merubala Pseilis. The only time that Beis Hillel says that you're allowed to take the psoles itself. This is an important caveat, which is halacha lemaisa, which in many ways will summarize Hilchas Borer vis-a-vis Yom Tov. Says Rabbi Gamliel, the only time that Beis Hillel condones taking the psoles from the ochel, Beis Hillel do not seem to be concerned about the fact that on Shabbos it's prohibited to take the psoles, and they say you can take the psoles on Yom Tov. However, that's only if there's more ochel than psoles. Avo psoles meruba ala ochel divrei akol notel es ha'ochel. But if there's more psoles than ochel, then Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that the halachi is that you take the ochel. Umeniach es ha'psoles. Asks the Gemara, if that would be so, that we're talking about psoles meruba ala ochel, so then there's another problem over there. Asks the Gemara, psoles meruba ala ochel mi kaman deshari, is there anybody that says that you're allowed to move it at all, Rashi explains? Because if the psoles is a majority, then the whole thing is muktza, it's not chazi letiltul. Answers the Gemara, letzvicha denafish betircha vizuter bishiura. We're not talking about where the majority is mamish psolus, but the psolus is more difficult to remove. But there are actually less psolus than there is ochel. So it's not mukta on the one end. On the other end, when it comes to psolus and borer in general, we have an important rule. And that is, whatever is less tircha, according to Beis Hillel, that's what you're going to select. This keys us off to a yesod gadol in regards to borer specifically, and for that matter, in other malachos in Yom Tov as well, and that is that for ochel nefesh, according to Beis Hillel, one is allowed to do borer. Nevertheless, the only type of borer that could be done is a borer which is the least amount of tircha. So we're not so concerned, according to many Rishonim, not all Rishonim, but according to many Rishonim, and in Halacha Lamaisa, we are not as concerned about the malacha, because at the end of the day, there's the heter of ochel nefesh, according to the majority of Rishonim, according to Beis Hillel. Nevertheless, we are concerned about tircha. Hence, whatever is less tircha, then that's what you're supposed to select. And we're not concerned about what the halacha would be vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos. We learned the Rebbe Gamliel Amar af midiach v'shola that you're allowed to soak in water and thereby remove the psoles that floats to the top. Tanya Amar Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Tzadok Kacha Yimin Hogan Shel Beis Rebbe Gamliel. Shahayu mevi in Dili Malei Adashim. The custom in the house of Rebbe Gamliel would be that they would bring a bucket full of lentils. Umatzifin alav mayim. They would put water above. V'nimtza oichel lamata. The food would go to the bottom, upseilas lamala, and the shaft would flow to the top. Ask the Gemara v'atanya ipcha, but didn't we learn in a brisa the exact opposite? Loikasha haba afra haba gili. It depends what type of psolus was there. When we were dealing with dirt, dirt would float with the bottom. However, we're talking about shaft, the shaft would flow to the top. Either way, this was a manner which was acceptable, but Beis Rabbi Gamliel, to separate the wheat from the shaft or the wheat from the dirt. And we discuss, when we mention the Mishnah, there is a Machlokas Rishonim, whether Rabbi Gamliel is being more Machmir than Beis Hillel, or being more Mekel than Beis Hillel. Let's Beis Hashem continue another Machlokas in regards to Yom Tov between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. However, we are no longer going to discuss the Sidura, the past, the Malachos of Borer and Tochen and Dosh, but rather we're going to discuss a totally separate set of Halachos. Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Mishalchem B'Yom Tov Elamanos. Beis Shammai says that you're not allowed to send to your friend a present except for prepared food. Beis Shammai is concerned that if you're going to send him food that is not entirely prepared, he'll end up putting it on the side and not use it on Yom Tov. And that would be Derech HaChol. Postal service is prohibited on Yom Tov. To send your friends stuff, that's uvda dechol. Ubeisilom mishalchin behema chayiv of ben chayim ben shchutin. Beisil says, no problem. You could send him live animals that haven't been slaughtered yet. Why? Because at the end of the day, can slaughter it on Yom Tov, and it can be litzarech Yom Tov. Mishalchin yenos shmonim v'salsos. You're allowed to send wine, oil, and flour, v'kitnias, avalo tevua. But you're not allowed to send grain. Rashi explains that you're not allowed to grind grain on Yom Tov because, according to Rashi, the Gemara's conclusion at the beginning of today's daf was that you're allowed to grind things that could not be ground on Erev Yom Tov because they would lose its taste. Wheat, you could just as well grind on Erev Yom Tov. Hence, you're not allowed to grind wheat on Yom Tov. Hence, you're not allowed to send it to your friend on Yom Tov, because he's not allowed to grind it anyway. Reb Shimon Matir B'Tvua, Reb Shimon allows you to send grain, because there were whole grains that they used to put into foods as well, even though it wasn't that common. Gemara analyzes the Mishnah, Tana Reb Chiel, Ubilvad Shelo Yasenu Bishura. The condition that you're allowed to send these things, that you're not allowed to send it with a rope. Rashi explains that in those days, they used to send the products in a row. A row of people would bring products to send them along to the marketplace, and this is a derech of avsha milsa. It's done with a lot of fanfare. Business requires PR and advertisement and so on and so forth. And also, there are many things that are going on at once when a business deal is taking place, so there are a few workers that bring it along. Here, when it comes to the manos, you're not supposed to send it on a row. Tana, Ein shura pachas mishol she b'nei adam. A shura means that's sent with three people. By Rav Ashi has the following shaila. What happens if you have a few products, each one of them with a different person? Tlasa gavri tlasa mini. Mai. Are you allowed to send three different products, but with three different people? What's awesome might be sending one product with three people, one's going to take the money, etc., etc. You don't need three people to take one product for someone to do a favor for them on Yom Tov. But what happens if you have three different products with three different people? Maybe that would be mutter. Teku tishbi yitareitz kushios v'abais. Reb Shimon matir b'tvua. Reb Shimon had permitted one to even send tvua. We mentioned, because it, according to Rashi, because it could be used in the food items as whole grains. Tanya Reb Shimon matir b'tvua kigon chitin. Lasos mehen ludios sa'orin litan lefnei behemto. Adoshim lasos mehen resisim. These different foods could be made with these particular items, with wheat, with barley. Barley could be used for animals, and lentils, even whole lentils, could be used for a type of food called risasin. Finally, we have another Mishnah, Mishalchin Kalim. Now our Mishnah begins to discuss sending items, objects, not food items. Mishalchin Kalim, Bein Tfurim, Bein She'enan Tfurim. You're allowed to send clothing, whether the garments are sewn together or not. In those days, instead of hangers and packages, they would sew different garments together to make it easier to carry. And even though there is a mixture of wool and linen, which is an Isur D'oraisa, and the person therefore cannot wear it on Yom Tov, nevertheless will be acceptable. Of course, the Gemara is going to ask the most basic question. On the one hand, you said it's klayim. On the other hand, you say vehein letzarech hamoed. You're going to use it for Yom Tov. How can you use it for Yom Tov if you're not allowed to wear it because of klayim? Avolo sandal ha-mesumar. You're not allowed to use a hobnailed sandal, velo minol sheina tofer, as well as a shoe that has not been entirely sewn together. Chazal made a gzeira in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Samach Amud Aleph. We discussed this in the Daf Yomi, that one is not allowed to wear a sandal on Masumar on Shabbos as a way of remembering an awful tragedy that happened in a stampede during the Roman persecutions, where the hobnailed sandals killed people because of a stampede that had took place in fear of the Romans. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Aflo Mina Lavan Mipnei Shetzarech Uman. Also, in those days, it was not cool to wear a white shoe. You only wore, at least for Jews, you only wore a black shoe. So therefore, if the shoe was white, it was not ready for Yom Tov, you would only wear black. If you could derive benefit from it on Yom Tov, then you would send it, otherwise it would be Yasser. Analyzes the Gemara. If we're talking about garments that are sewn, I understand why the Mishnah says that you're allowed to send them. Here the Gemara understands the sewn items as garments that are entirely sewn. So that's Pashut, that could be worn. She'ein Tfurin, if they're not sewn together, they could be used for other things. You could use it to cover items, even though the garment isn't entirely ready for Yom Tov to be worn. But what could you use klayim for? And if you're going to say that you're able to use them to lie on them like a type of sheet, Vatanya, doesn't the Torah describe? And the Braisa records the pasuk lo yala alecha avol ata yochala tzia tachdecha avol chachamim asru lasos kain, then mina Torah the Isser is only wearing it. But Chazal said that you're not allowed to sit under klayim as well, shematichroch nima al besaro, lest a bit of the thread of klayim be connected somehow, lean on his flesh. And what's going to happen is that then it's considered like ha'alah, as if he had worn it. Maybe you'll say that he'll put something between the klayim and his flesh. The holy community in Yerushalayim said, afilu eser matzol zol gabizu, uklayim techten, even if you have 10 mats, one on top of the other, it's prohibited to sit on them. So what type of use do you have for klayim if you can't even sit on them? Ella bivilon, says the Gemara, you could use it as, you have this term in modern Hebrew as well, as curtains. Va'amar ula, but didn't ula say mipnei ma, amru vilon tame, mipnei shashemesh mischamem kenegdo. The reason why a vilon is a davra mekabel tumah, because it absorbs the heat of the sun, and people warm up next to it. So too, over here, there should be a problem when it comes to using the garments of klayim as a curtain, because people warm up next to it, and that would be a problem. Continues the Gemara, Tes Vav Min Aleph, Ela B'Kashin. We're talking about a material that's hard. And if it's a terrible, then hard, that's hard, then we're not concerned the person's going to do that. And this is brought out with where Rav Huna Breidu Yeshua's statement, Hainamta gad mondanrish, sharya, a garment that is made out of a harsh material, even though it's klayim, is permissible. The Gemara also records, Amar Rav Papa Ardulin ein ba mishum klayim. A hard beged that is wrapped around one's feet, in other words, is used as a shoe-like substance, a leather-like substance, is not part of the Isser of Klayim. We're going to stop today's daf over here, already reaching Tes Vav Amud Aleph. It is absolutely beautiful that we're zoche to do Hilchos Yom Tov as we lead up to the Yom Tov of Cheirus Chag HaPesach. In fact, tomorrow's daf, which I hope I'm going to get to do with you tomorrow after the Biur Chametz here in Arzenu HaKdosha. Here in Eretz Yisrael, it's kedai to go inside during Biur Chametz. I have a little bit of a Shalolishma incentive because the air for quite a few hours on Erev Yom Tov, sometimes even to the night of Seder, is full of smoke of the burning of chametz. I don't understand why people sometimes even throw in their plastic bags. That doesn't help the air either. And on tomorrow's daf, we will deal with Erev Yom Tov, with the context of Erev Tavshilin. Tomorrow there is not a chiyuv of Erev Tavshilin, but we will be able to think about the requirement of preparing for Yom Tov through the perspective of Hachanas of Erev Yom Tov, which include Erev Tavshilin. May Kadosh Baruch Hu allow us to be zocha to a Yom Tov truly of Cheirus, and looking forward to dancing with you. Bebeis HaMikdash HaBenuya, Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh.